Father, we thank you, we thank you. We can't thank you enough because it is a day that you had set apart unto your purpose. Therefore, Lord, we commit all into your perfect care. Therefore, I decrease that you might increase. Perfect all that which concerned us, and let your word come strong. And let there be a manifestation of your power in the midst of your people. For unto you be the glory, power, honor, and majesty. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. If you got back home and they asked you what was the sermon in church, tell them it was titled, Your Season of Triumph. Hallelujah. And this, from what John had read, you realize this narrative has been taken through several synoptic gospels, Matthew 21, 1 to 15, Mark, from Mark 11, from verses 1 through 11, Luke chapter 19, from verse 28 through 40, and John chapter number 12, from verses 12 through 19. Now, they're all saying the same thing. And let me remind you that this is one of the most wonderful days in Christendom. It's a day that's been set aside to commemorate that triumphant entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. Well, for the global Christian community, today also marks the commencement of the Holy Week. Sometimes when you look at the events of the week, you wonder what makes it holy. But that's okay. Most importantly, this is intended to bring to remembrance the suffering and the cruel death of our Lord and Savior Jesus. The death by crucifixion, let me say this, was a Roman method of death. It is a form of execution which came with a maximum punishment. You were not only allowed to die quietly, like we do today, they steal some execution and they take you to the stakes and they fire you, or they put some lethal drugs on you and you pass out. But no, the Romans had taken time to devise crucifixion because it was a long, torturous journey to death. Now, it takes several hours for you to die because oftentimes you would be allowed to stay there on the stakes and get drained until you are totally wasted. And for this reason, a law was enacted to ensure that no Roman citizen was ever allowed to be put through crucifixion. It was only meant for slaves and people they considered to be dangerous criminals. But that's the fate our master went through. Now, so when you look at the things that begin to happen, as we examine the extraordinary events of this wonderful unfolding week, you are bound to question why it's indeed a holy week. Now, you see, yes, there are a lot of takeaways that we'll love to listen, that we'll love to go with. And for me today, because this is a long one, but today I want to simply examine why the King of Kings had to go to Jerusalem. Why did he, in spite of the fact that he knew what lay ahead, he still went through the journey into Jerusalem? Yes, indeed, it was a triumphant entry. But why did he decide to go that way? Now, so first and foremost, we'll also look at maybe what we'll call the symbolisms of the triumphant entry. And prominent amongst which is the donkey. Is the donkey. The ride on the donkey was not what you would expect a king to go with, as opposed to the horse. The horse was made for kings. The horse was that which any king would use for triumphant entry. But the King of Kings went on a mule. Isn't it sad? Now, but as you would readily observe, almost every action about the triumphant entry, and even in the life of the master, were ordained and prophetic. Well, the worldly and secular kings would enter Jerusalem with a cavalry, a military convoy, a panoply of all the appurtenances of power and glory, but not the King of Kings. Now, this was meant to be in fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, and Matthew 21, 5. We had already heard this, so we'll run. Because your king comes riding in a donkey. Your king. Mind you, this is a king. Now, so why the donkey? And I said, I tried to take a look at some of these things, and I realized the spiritual symbolisms of the donkey and what it represents. It represents humility. It represents patience. It represents service. It represents peace. It represents steadfastness. It represents resilience, perseverance, hard work, and the ability to bear burdens with the grace. The ability to bear burdens with grace. It's not exactly the same thing that you can bear burden. But can you bear burden with grace as if nothing is happening? That's a big difference, isn't it? Now, when we look at this, we realize that these formed the major characteristics of his kingdom. And this is what he means in Matthew 11, chapter 11, from verses 28 through 30, when he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Hallelujah. Brethren, apart from the symbolisms of this triumphant entry, the donkey is also a great reminder to us that this indeed is the king that comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, when we are talking about humility, you would realize that the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem also signposted the end of his mission and his ministry. Sad, isn't it? But in that same city, he was not going to be mocked. He was not going to be denied, but he would be insulted, humiliated, and also tortured to death. But he ascended into Jerusalem. Many years ago, sometime in 2006 or thereabout, I had the opportunity to be in Jerusalem and to try to walk the footsteps of Christ, and got to the point at which he entered Jerusalem. And as I stood there, my spirit got troubled. Jerusalem lay there, and as he entered that city, not only was he aware that this is likely going to be his last outing here, but this is the same Jerusalem that he had brought to. He was brought as a child. This is the same Jerusalem he had come as an adult, preached the gospel, ministered to people, healed the sick. But this is the same city that was to reject him. I want you to follow me. That you are familiar with the city doesn't mean that the city will not rebel. Now, we are talking about the King of Kings, the Savior of the world. Yet above all, he foresaw the coming glory, and that is also the very city that he was destined to be glorified by going to the pitch of hell and rising up on a Sunday morning. Now, don't ever forget, in your journey, in your trajectory through life, there is a triumphant entry. There's always a day for a triumphant entry. But also note that there comes a Good Friday, which is not going to be too good. The Friday where lives are laid down. But the beauty of it all is these great people. Sunday comes. Sunday comes when there is a resurrection. And that's why Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I decree that today, as you are here, may you encounter the same power of resurrection. And may that power change your life for good. In the mighty name of Jesus. Friends, hear me. Whatever you had lost through the conspiracy of the enemy, the devil, by the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, I decree, let those things come alive in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Many of us have lost our health and we've been struggling. Many of us, this week we're going to have appointments with the doc. For many of us, we've been written off and they're saying that you will be on this drug for the rest of your life. But hear me, people. If Christ resurrected and came back alive, I decree everything that was dead in your life, may they come alive in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, so Jesus had agreed to enter Jerusalem, not in ignorance, but to fulfill the love of the Father and to humanity. And you remember John 3:16, a very familiar one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish, but do what? Have everlasting life. This is the journey that took Christ to that place of covenant. And today we are partakers of that covenant blessing. Hallelujah. Now, let me also inform you, number five, that Christ came to enforce the restoration of the house of God as the place of prayer and holiness. If we're looking at verse number 12, you're going to see that Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Verse 13, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. This was holy anger at work. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. This was to also testify to the fact that part of his ministry as he was coming towards the end was that healing would still remain the bread of the children. Hallelujah. Now, therefore, you look at, let's continue to see the glory that was due him had to manifest as he entered Jerusalem. Don't forget his prophetic destiny as the son of David. In verse 9, we'll talk about that as we go forward. Now, you realize that the son of David, you see the proclamation, as he entered Jerusalem, there was that declaration that Hosanna in the highest. And they proclaimed him son of David. You realize that son of David is both an emphatic reference of the genealogy of Jesus as a lineage of King David. And you know that if there ever was any king that was powerful, Egypt gave us that king in the name of David. And it was also a part of the fulfillment of the old messianic prophecy of the Messiah that was to come. And he was to come from the lineage of David. I don't know if you're getting me. This is powerful. When you come to an understanding of this, you would see that Jesus was not just an ordinary king. Now, that's why in my place where I come from, there are certain things that are done like rituals that if they mention the name of a person to the second, the third, the fourth generation, you would know that this person knows you well. Now, Jesus knew his prophetic mission. And he understood his messianic origins. When the two blind men saw him, they shouted, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus also shouted, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." What happened? In spite of the struggle, even by the disciples, to keep the person in check and said, "Hey, don't come here." Jesus was walking, then suddenly he stopped. Like that woman with the issue of blood that had touched him. And the issue of blood ceased. Jesus knew somebody had called him by a name that only him understands. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And this is the name that triggered the healing. Now, as you understand this and you begin to appreciate this and understand that this same King of Kings, Jesus, the son of David, I declare this morning that in any area of your life where you have issues, sicknesses, limitations, I decree, let healing come. Let healing come. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus, the entry into Jerusalem was not in like as it used to be when he used to go on crusades, you know? Now, this was a different entry entirely. You see that he entered Jerusalem to formally announce that a king is here. And that is why, as you go through verses number 10 and 11, you see the people asked, "Who is this? Who is this?" As we are seated here today, I don't know how many of us are still asking that question. Who is he? Who is he? If you still have doubt in your mind about who Jesus is, I come with good news to you this morning that Jesus is not only just the son of David. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is our Savior, our Lord, our Master, our all. In the name of Jesus. Today, that question still lingers in the hearts of many. And maybe that's why you have a responsibility as a Christian. Who knows if you came into the kingdom at such a time like this for that purpose? As we leave from here, my prayer is that as many of us that are touched by the Spirit of God will minister Christ to others. There are so many waiting and still asking in doubt, "Who is this?" But you know that Jesus was not a hidden figure. This was a man. Every time he entered the city came alive. Because the blind eyes began to see. Because the crippled began to walk on their own. Hallelujah. So who is Jesus? What is your relationship with him? When last did you share the good news of Jesus with your family? With your neighbors? And with your friends. Most importantly, in your daily living, does your life reflect the very essence why Jesus came? Why he came to die that painful death at the cross? As we join today in celebrating his entry into Jerusalem, let us note that after this will come a long, torturous journey. I'm saying this literally, talking about the entry. excuse me, that there will be long, torturous hours of tribulation, of bullying, of whiplashings, of tearing of his garments and the remnants of them, that there will come moments of shame, that there will come dehumanizing humiliation, and the consequent and final nailing to the cross at Calvary. Now, when we talk about the cross at Calvary, well, I love the songwriter calls it the old rugged cross. Now, when we're talking about the cross of Calvary, many of us still think it was a fantastic thing because we make it sound so. We say the cross, and the people are wearing the cross. It was not so in the beginning. I've told you that this was for the thieves. This was for people that were written off. That's why even the place, I have been to that place, they call it Golgotha. It was taken outside of the city. It was the place where the dead were abandoned. But that's where they took our Lord and Master to. The cross was not the most pleasant place to be. It was a place of shame. It was a place of pain. It was a place where humanity was taken apart and you were left high and dry and to die in shame. But Jesus went through it all for my sake and for your sake. Amen. You know why he did that? So that you and I today can stand before the devil and say, hell no, we don't belong there. We have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The whole of this narrative is filled with a lot of things, but I'd like to mention three things. There are three sets of people in this wonderful narrative. And I want you to listen carefully. As you look at this story, as it begins to unfold, Jesus had said, he sent his disciples ahead to go and untie a colt, bring the donkey. They didn't make any arrangements for it. They didn't know who owned it. They didn't know what would happen if they took it. But he said, if they ask, just say that the master has need of it. Has Jesus sent you on this same errand? Now, many of us still think, well, Jesus isn't coming to Jerusalem again, so I'm not involved. But what if Jesus is sending you on missionary journey? What if Jesus is sending you to provide and care for the sick, the troubled, and the needy? What if Jesus is asking you to minister to his needs in the body of Christ? And this is one of the things that got me hooked to Christ. Wherever he sends me, I will go. Now, so, number two. See, those disciples that went to bring the donkey did not only bring the donkey, but they harnessed the donkey. Where do you think they took the clothes from? They removed their jackets and adorned the donkey. And he sat upon it. In fact, they carried him and he sat upon it. The beautification of the body of Christ still remains a cardinal responsibility of the Christian. And I don't know in what way you are involved in this, in the local church, in the local community, because there are enough places and spaces for you to fill yourself in to beautify the body of Christ. Yeah, you could say, I don't have the time, but I don't know how many of us would understand that the little service the little hand we give in the service of the local church is part and parcel of dressing up the body of Christ. Number two, We had the multitude on the street. They thronged the streets and laid their clothes, shouting, Hosanna. Look at verse number 8 through 9. You would see these people was not like the mob that came on the day of crucifixion. This was not the kind of crowd you would find when people are hosting a carnival. This was an exemplary crowd. They came to hail him. They came to bring him into the city. And they were willing to do whatever it would take. That's why they removed their clothes and laid them on the streets for that donkey to pass through. And why did the donkey take the glory? It was because the King of Kings sat upon it. Hallelujah. In verse number 12, you're going to see another set of people. Those who are in the temple, buying and selling, measuring out stuff, gold, silver, coins, and those that there were people. You know, the temple in those days was a very busy place. Yeah, if you've committed some sins up to 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in the course of the week, as you're coming, you come with gifts, doves, gold, stuffs like that. Pastor Paul, you know the church, if it was today, this church would be smelling of smoke and you would be hearing cows, cattle at the background, horses neighing. It was quite a busy place. So what happened? There were people who brought this for other people to buy. And if you came outside of Jerusalem and you did not carry the coin or the money that was needed in this city, you had to change. So there were people who were having foreign exchange businesses going on. All right? But this is the house of the living God, not the house of a dead God. When Christ came, he came to establish that true worship of God and to reestablish the fact that, yes, indeed, this is the house of God and it shall be called the house of prayer. Not for transactional purposes. And that's why I love it here. Every time I enter here, I get this feeling that it's wonderful to be here. All right? There are still churches today, and make no mistake about this, that are still involved in the transactional, you know, business of buying and selling inside the church. And they come in various forms. Now, let's put it at that. All right, so the temple, the sanctity of the temple as the house of God and the place of prayer had to be established. That's why when we come here in humility, we bow. This is indeed the house of prayer. Now, I ask this question. Amongst these three group of people, there are interesting things that happen. Who amongst this group would you like to fall under? Like the disciples, the friends, the followers, and the crowd, will you deny him? Will you also abscond from the long journey to the cross? Because there are people who were lovers of Christ while he walked the earth, and they followed him wherever he went. You know, Christ was not only ministering to the soul, he ministered to the body as well. People were getting healings. And people who attended his crusade, at the end of the day, there was food, isn't it? Now, so even if you don't like what he preached, you will love the food that comes after, isn't it? Now, so a lot of people followed him. But when the critical moments came, most of them withdrew. Will you also withdraw from Christ? I want you to take your time. Or will you pretend to be too busy to pay attention to what is happening to him or around him or the body of Christ as it is today? Or will you look the other way, like the Pharisee, and say, hey, this, it doesn't concern me? These are critical questions that underlie our belief system in Christ as our Savior. And truly, these things still do happen in varying dimensions and in various ways. Now, as I begin to wind down, I want us to understand something. That the judgment day is drawing nigh. In the book of Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, you see it paints a picture that appears a little bit scary. But that is the truth that will happen. And it says, and when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye beloved and blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the very foundation of the world. I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. It keeps going. Verse number 40 says, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto all them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and he gave me no meat. And it keeps on saying, to the last verse, number 46, and he says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. I have pointedly asked these three questions. Where would you fall into? The multitude who thronged the streets and laid their clothes shouting Hosanna. Or those who were busy selling and buying in the temple. Who would you say you are in Christ? Would you belong to the disciples that obeyed him, went ahead? Rise up on your feet this morning and begin to talk to God and thank God for the mercy that came through the cross of Calvary. Begin to thank God for making that triumphant entry, because that entry is the one that had been designated for your own triumph as well. As we begin to thank God for that triumphant entry, let us make a declaration that we shall belong to the ones that went ahead and brought the donkey. We shall belong to the ones that dressed that body of the donkey for Christ. We shall be amongst them that laid their clothes on the ground for the donkey to pass, knowing full well that this was the Savior of the world. Speak to God. Lekezima suti yabadada. Zunteka yima rabadushka zindere bebebe kupashita yaba kima sudia maskete zezima kure bida la pratita sukendelebuska karuma da dezia makupatia de sekelere indaza pratiga lebo sindelere. In the mighty name of Jesus, lift up your right hand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a time like this. We thank you for this day. Well, thank you because you have made a triumphant entry into our hearts this day. Father, as it was in the day of the triumphant entry, go into our hearts and search through our hearts. Whatever represents the buying and selling in the temple, let them be flushed out. Let them be flushed out. Let them be flushed out. In the mighty name of Jesus, as you entered the temple and began to flush out the enemies, Father, we decree whatever represents the enemy in our lives, let them also be flushed out in the mighty name of Jesus. as you took over the temple and begin to minister healing, Lord, today we decree, let your hands of healing rest upon us. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we thank you and we return to you all glory, power, honor, and majesty. Be thou glorified, be thou magnified of all. For we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Hallelujah.